Monday the 7th of July, Dalud Tamlus, Valet Joseph Perlman, The Power of 42.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, nice to be back again. The topic is this number 42. It occurs obviously this week's surge, as we'll see in a second. You should be aware that just as every letter of the alphabet has its own segula, its own significance, so does every single number have its hashpor, its influence upon things which happen, and no number occurs in Tanakh or in the Gemara without it having its significance. So the numbers 1 to 10 are very well known, such as 1 being unity of Hashem, 2 is the duality, this Olam Hazeh, 3 is Chut HaMshulash, the Chizuk, 4 is Shleimus, 5 is the Jewish number, 6 is Teva, 7 is the Kedusha Sheva Teva, 8 is Memala Mena Teva, 9 is Emes, and 10 is Kedusha Dominion, etc., and 11 is Mispar HaTshuva. So we could go right on. Some numbers are well known, such as the number 36, Lamed Vav Tzadikim, the 36 Christus mentioned in the beginning of Christus. 39 is a number which of course has a great significance, the Lamed Tes Melachos, the Lamed Tes Malchus, etc., etc. But the number that we're going to look at in particular is the number 42. This is the number with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world originally. The Shem Mem Beis is a very interesting topic as to whether it is the Shem Mem Afarish or not. There is the Arshit is among the Geonim of the Mem Beis. Shem Mem Beis was actually the Shem Mem Afarish, although the general consensus is not like that, that the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei or the 72 letter word, but each of these Shemas have got their own particular power. But the power of the number 42 is remarkable. It's mentioned that this is the Shem with which Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian. This is the Shem which has the power of life and death. A very significant Rabbeinu Bachya at the beginning of Chumash tells us that if you start from the base of Bereshis and count 42 letters, so you can see it's where this system was well known well before the modern computer technology. The Rabbeinu Bachya, who had a mind as great as any computer, he points out that if you continue with 42 letters from the base of Bereshis and do it a second time and a third time, what you end up is Beis Hei Reish Dalet Baharad. Now Baharad is well known in Rosh Hashanah to be the Molad Tohu. That means that it's the day on which the year in which the world was created would have started had there been such a time. That's why it's called Molad Tohu. The Molad which didn't actually exist, but it's there in essence and in theory. And Baharad, it stands for the second day of the week, which is Monday. Hey is the fifth hour, and Reish Dalet is 204 Chalukim. And that is where the Molad of the Rosh Hashanah prior to the creation. As if to tell us, yes, look at the number 42, and you can see that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu used in order to create the world. And everybody knows that Beis and Mem is a very, very significant matter, because you've got the Beis of Bereshis and the Mem of Me'emasai, which represents Torah, Shevet Ksav, and Torah Shebaal Peh together. And the Beis and the Mem together make the word bomb. And I remember as a little child, I've said this before, but it's, I like to repeat it, brings back my babyhood. When I was in Cheder, they just discovered the hydrogen bomb. And everybody was getting extremely excited about this magnificent new nuclear bomb, which was going to be dwarf the atom bomb. Everyone was talking about it. So we came into Cheder, and the Rebbe says to us, "Do you know what the most powerful bomb is?" And we all said, "That, of course, it's the..." Some hadn't heard of the hydrogen bomb, it was the atom bomb or the hydrogen bomb. The Rebbe says, "You're all wrong. The most powerful bomb is the Vedibarto bomb. That's the most important bomb in the world. Why? Because the Vedibarto bomb is the Torah, which it comprises the Beis of Bereshis and the Mem of Me'emasai. It's also this number, we'll come back to it in a second. Now, how does it come into this week's Sedra? Well, we know that Balak and Bilam were intent upon destroying Klal Yisrael, and they used their Nevuah, Balak and Bilam. Bilam was as well known as a Navi, but the Rashi says that Baruch was even greater in certain respects, and they went round offering korbanos in order to be able to curse Klal Yisrael. The korbanos they brought were Purim, Elim, bulls and rams. They studiously avoided bringing lambs. Why did they leave the lambs out? So the Mefarshim explain, the bull represents Avram, the ram represents Yitzchak, but the lamb represents Yaakov, and they didn't want to mention Yaakov because Yaakov was Mitosa Shalemo, and that represented Klal Yisrael. They were happy to have Avram and Yitzchak because Avram had a Yishmael and Yitzchak had an Esav. So therefore, it could be that the powers of the Edom, the powers of Yishmael, would also be brought into play. Because if they brought the Keves, that would just bring in Yaakov, and that would have been against what they were trying to achieve. So they left the Keves out. Now, they went and they sacrificed these sacrifices around different places, and there's a lot of discussion who did the sacrificing. Was it Balak or was it Bilam? And there's a lot of interesting reflection we discussed. If you look at the Pasuk, so it says Vayal in the singular, and if it, why does it say Vayal? Who did it together? Who was doing it? Who was the Iker? And so forth. There's a lot of discussion among the reflection, which is not what we're concentrating on at the moment. But by the time they'd finished, they'd brought. They were bringing seven of Purim and seven Elim at each occasion. They knew the power of the number seven, obviously, and they did this six times. So by the time they'd finished, they'd offered 42 korbanos. So the Gemara says that they brought 42 korbanos. Now, in the zchus of bringing those 42 korbanos, then Balak and Bilam were entitled to have a payback. And what was the payback? The destruction of part of Klal Yisrael. The only thing is that when Klal Yisrael were at the right Madrega, they managed to push off this terrible Gezeirah. And Moshe Rabbeinu prayed, and he passed this message on to every leader of Klal Yisrael, that they should pray hard that the Klala of Balak and Bilam should not have any Chalos. They prayed, Yeshua prayed, and after him the Shoftim prayed, and this Gezeirah of 42 didn't actually have any effect yet. The question is, why should it have any effect? They were trying to curse Klal Yisrael, so they weren't doing something particularly good. However, the point is that everything that a person does has to have its spin-off, has to have its reward, and any, even if it's just a little bit of good, the fact is that they did pray to Hashem, they did bring these korbanos, and even though that their intention was to curse Klal Yisrael, there is some return on the fact that they did a maisa which was a commendable sort of act, although the intention was not so. So this went on for generation after generation until it came to the generation of Elisha. Now you know this famous story, those of you who've done Daf Yomi will know very recently in Sota, the whole story is told about the people of the city. Who? What happened was Elisha threw the piece of wood into the water, which was very, very sour. It was very, very unpleasant, unpalatable. He threw the piece of wood into the water, and all of a sudden it all became sweet. Well, everybody was happy with the fact that they had fresh water, except, of course, the Wasserträgers, the people who used to collect the water. It's like saying nowadays, if you were to, well, we had it with the Luddites in the time of the Industrial Revolution. The Luddites went around smashing all the new inventions because they felt that their parnassa was being affected. Can you imagine if somebody just invented a method whereby we could press a button and be transported from one place to another? The taxi drivers would be up in arms about it. They would say that we're all losing our jobs. Well, this is exactly what the water carriers did at the time of Elisha. They were so annoyed with Elisha. And what they did, they went after him and they called him Baldy. Kereach, you're a Baldy. So the Gemara says, I'm going to call him Baldy. What's Baldy got to do with it? He says, no, he krachta olena samakam. You've made the place bald for us. That means you're taking away our parnasa. And Elisha says, of course I haven't taken away your parnasa. Parnasa comes from Hashemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines what parnasa you're going to get. It's nothing to do with me. Your parnasa can come from somewhere else quite easily. It doesn't have to come from carrying the water. But they wouldn't have any of this. They felt that Elisha had taken away their whole parnasa, and they ran out after him and they called him names. When Elisha saw this, he got very upset, and he said, I'm no longer going to pray that the 42 korbanos which Balak brought should no longer be effective as an opportunity for me to get rid of that horrible gezeirah on people who don't deserve better. So then, and immediately the bears turned up, and the bears turned up from a forest, but from which you get the Yiddish expression lo dubim velo yar, but it's never happened, lo yar devorim ha'olam, but there was a forest, and in from the forest came out bears, and they ate 42 of the young men of Klal Yisrael. So again we see this power of the number 42, how it led to the destruction of these people in Elisha's town. The question they ask is, various questions on that, Maisa, why do you have to have a forest? Let the bears just come on their own. Well, why do you have to create a forest in order to create the bears? So the answer to that one is actually, it's a very important lesson for life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does nisim. However, he hides the nest within another nest. We think that our parnasa comes because we go out and work. And sometimes, you know, you see the parnasa comes from an unusual source. It could only be from Hashem's additional help. However, really, it's all a nest. It's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu covers one nest up with another nest. So what happened here, Elisha was trying to bring home to these people that their parnasa didn't depend upon them schlepping the water, and that's why they got their parnasa. Their parnasa depended on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order to prove that to them, he sent the bears, but he couldn't send the bears by themselves because that would be too miraculous. So he created a forest first, and out of the forest came the bears. The Gemara asks, why could he not just have the bears on own? They might have the Be'isi. They would be afraid. There's a three-way machlokus as to who would have been afraid. Some say it was the bears themselves would have been afraid. Some say it was that the young men would have been afraid because they would have run off and the bears wouldn't have been able to catch them, which is a very difficult explanation, because if the bears were miracle bears, why couldn't they follow them through and find out where they were and can eat them up? And the third chat was that the people around Elisha would be afraid, and they would not see the nest. The problem with that explanation is that the Gemara says that the reason why these boys were damaged was because Elisha went without a levoya. If you don't accompany somebody on a journey, then you're likely to cause damage. And that's why, because Elisha went out alone, they caused the damage. So the explanation of Be'isi, which Rashi gives, that the bears themselves would be afraid, seems to me to be the best explanation. And even though the other Achronim disagree with Rashi, you usually find that Rashi's right. He has the best shot. Anyhow, what happened there was that the bears did follow these people, and they finished them off, mainly because they just didn't have bitachon in Hashem, and Elisha saw it was no longer possible to hold off the decree which Balak had started off, and therefore at that stage he brought the punishment back. But this brings back again to where we came in. Why especially this number 42? Well, we've seen that the 42 has this power in it. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Aleph talks about different shemos, and this shem of 42, you're not allowed to hand it over to people who would misuse it. And the Gemara gives various conditions about the character of the person who can hear about this number 42, the Shem Ben Mem Beis. Rashi says we don't know what it is. Rashi says we just don't know what the Shem Mem Beis is. We have no idea. However, the Gaonim, Rav Haigan, says we do know, and other Mephoshim say it comes from this famous Onor B'choyach, Gedulas Yemincha, and the first letters of that Onor B'choyach, which is attributed to Rabbi Nachman Ben Akona, that is actually, according to some, the Shem Mem Beis, and therefore when you say on the B'choyach, you've got to have special kavona, and we say it in special places. Interestingly enough, if you go through the Shem Mem Beis in the Onor B'choyach, you'll find all letters there bar three. Three letters are missing in the Aleph Beis. This is the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the letters of the Aleph Beis, but there are three missing. The Mem is missing, and the Hay is missing, and there's a Samach missing. Now the Foshim say, don't worry about the Samach, because you've got Sagvenu, and a Sin and a Samach are interchangeable letters, as we know, they can always be interchanged. You've got a Shin anyhow, and therefore if you've got a Shin and you have a Sin, the Sin operates with the Samach. Therefore that leaves us with two letters missing with the Mem Hei. Now there's a Posik which we say in Yom Kippur, and it's mentioned as a Posik to me, of Toile Eretz al Belimo. He hangs the earth on a nothing. It is, we call it gravity, but in fact what is gravity? Gravity is the power HaKadosh Baruch was put into the Bria to keep everything in its place. Toile Eretz al Belimo, on a nothing. If you take the word Belimo, Beli is 42, Beis Lamadud is 42, Ma is Mem Hei. It is Toile the whole world on the Beli and the Ma. Beli means on the 42 letters which are in the Shem of the Shem Mem Beis, and the Mem Hei is the, are the two letters which are omitted from that. They also create part of the Aleph Beis, and that's part of the Shem Mem Beis. Now, we find this Mem Beis in a number of different places. First of all, you perhaps are not aware that every time you put on your tefillin, you are carrying 42 Shemas. Because in the Parsha of Krishna and the Parsha of Kaddish Roi Kiviyachor, all together there are 21 Shemas. And as we have a Shalrosh, Yod, and we have a Shalrosh, the two together make 42. And that, some say, is the reason why when you put your Tun Shalrosh, everyone will be Yoru Mimeko, everybody they're going will be afraid, because if you have the proper Kavonas, the Shem Mem Beis will come along and it will actually spread and disperse any enemies. It's famous from Brochus, where the person had his tefillin on and the goyim just ran away completely afraid. Now, when I looked into this number 42, various people replied, giving me all sorts of places where they come. Some of them a little bit fanciful, and you know, obviously you will come across the number 42 in a variety of different places. But I once made a list of all these that people had given me, and maybe I'll just quickly go through some of them. First of all, as we well know, we have 42 masos. In Parshas Masay, there were 42 stages, and each of these stages have tremendous Kabbalistic importance. When Klal Yisrael went through the Midbar, they had to go through a series of 42 stages. Similarly, the Ori HaLevim had 42 Ori HaLevim. There was an extra 6, which was the Ori Miklot, but the basic cities which the Levim had were 42, and they were highly powerful because they protected a person from death. So just as usually it's an equal and opposite. Something which has the power to do something also has the power to protect. Like nuclear power can do tremendous damage, it can also do a tremendous amount in a positive way. So also, the number 42, which is this, has this power of destruction, also has the power of protection and the power of creation. I don't think I can go through every the case where we have the number 42, but we find in a number of places in Tanakh, you find in Malachim that Yehu slaughtered 42 brothers of Achaziah, and you've got in Shoftim that 42,000 Bnei Ephraim fell to Yiftach, and redacted they were killed as a punishment for sins which were committed secretly. In Ezra and Nehemiah there were 42 people of Beis Asmodeus who came with Zerubbabel and from the exile. You've got to try and work out why there should be this particular number. In the Rus Medrash Rabbah, we know that Boaz spoke to the Naru Hanitzav al HaKetzrim, and the Medrash says that this Naru was in charge of 42 underlings. So we see that number 42 is a question of control. A man can control 42 workmen, but not more. That says that was at the time of Rus. I don't know how many workmen form a team nowadays, how many you can look after. Now, there are 42 words in the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, which is the bracha of the Gevurah, starting from Atah Gibor until Lahachias Mesim. This one I heard from the late Ellis Hillman, Oliver Sholem, who was very interested in this type of thing, and he pointed that out. He also drew attention in Ma Tovu, and the accompanying collection of verses which is customary to say before we come to shul, or as we come into the shul, there are actually 42 words there. So we're seeing we start off our davening, so to speak, with this number 42. The menorah, the holy menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, had 42 bits and pieces. If you add up the different parts of the menorah, you've got the 22 cups, 11 kaftorim, and 9 prochim. If you add 22 plus 11 plus 9 is 42, as if to say that the menorah, which is the Torah Shabbat Peh, has this tremendous power inherent in it. There is a shitta, and many shittas which say, and the Sefer Torah has to have 42 columns. There are different shittas. Some say it's 60, some say we have 72, like Shemam first, some say 98, but some say it's got to be 42 columns. And in the Sefer Mishnah Savrom, it points out that the reason why people have 42 is because it's called the Sod Maaseh Bereishis, and the Rashi Tevis of Maaseh Bereishis are also Mem Beis. If you go look into it further, you can take the word of and aim. The parents all start with an aleph, of and aim starts with an aleph. The next generation of Ben and Bas always start with a base. If you put the last letters of the of and the last letters of aim, you again get the mem beis. It's just the parents have this tremendous power to instill into the children the masorah. Oh, you might say it's a bit fanciful. This is not my own. I heard that from Reb Osher Levine, who, when he first saw this, he came up with that. Now, it's not only a Jewish thing. This is something I don't know whether it's the right thing to be saying it in the Torah Seviva, but you've got to know that in non-Jewish literature, somehow or other, this number 42 came to the fore. I'll only mention it very, very briefly. When I wrote this letter, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Lerner came up with The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, and there's a famous story there about somebody who was trying to compute, etc., etc., and at the end he says, I can't understand anything in this universe, but the answer is 42. And nobody understands why this gentleman came up with that number, but the answer is pretty obvious. Either he must have had a Kabbalah from among the non-Jewish people. Let me just tell you, it's called The Answer to the Meaning of Life by Douglas Adams. Not something to be quoted in the Torah way, but it does show the Kedusha, how our Torah has spread elsewhere. There's another article that somebody came up to me about the ultimate question by two tremendously well recommended mathematicians, one called Murray Batchelor, another one called Bruce Henry. I'm certainly not going to quote too much about it, but he goes on and on about how this number 42 is an unbelievable number in mathematics. It's quite beyond me. And there's a lot of principles, and he comes out with certain other things which you might think are also a little bit sort of rochok, such as that Einstein made some tremendous discovery when he was at the age of 42, and a whole sort of other things like that. I'm not going to repeat those because they can look at them later yourselves if you want, but what I'm trying to show is that this number 42 is clearly mutba in the Teva, not only in the Torah, but everything is Torah, it's there too. Now, in the Meshe Chochma in Parshas Zosa Brocho, there's a very interesting Meshe Chochma. He says, first of all, you should know that Moshe was Niskale the Shem Eye Asher Eye, and Eye is 21, and the two together make the Sod Shem Mem Beis, which gives you the 42, and that's how he presumably was able to kill the Mitzri. That's what he says there. And Romaz Rabbeinu Behilchus Tefillin Perik Dal Daloch Yodalit Shekein Yesh Havayas the Parshas Tefillin Shel Rosh Chof Aled Chof Aleph Uchenegdom B'Shel Yad B'Sach HaKol Mem Beis. This is what I mentioned to you before. I first heard that from the Sasa of Rebbe Zichron Levracha, but clearly it's in the Rambam, and it's in it's well known. He says that in the note here, Chayev Odom L'Mashmesh B'Tfilov Kol Zman Shein Olof Shelo Yaseach Datum Mehem Afilu Rega Echot Shekudushos on Gedoilo Mikdushas Atitz. It's a well known Gemara in Yuma, a Kalvachem. If the Tzitz only had one Shem and the Tfilin have got 21 Shemas, how much more Kedusha there must be in the Tfilin than in the Tzitz? And that comes back to the Zer Soda Tfilin Sheherohu Lemosha. That's the secret of the Tfilin. And he quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, which we've just mentioned, about how the Shem Mem Beis is such an important Shem. And he quotes the Pasuk, V'rol kol ameos kishem Hashem nikra olechu v'yarem emeko elu tefillin shalosh. And he goes back to the fact that that is the number 42. Then he also mentions the Rabbeinu Bacher. Rabbi Shechachma obviously had access to Rabbeinu Bacher as well, and he quotes this Sugya of the 42 letters which create the Osios Barad. And then he says something very, very interesting. What do we do on Shabbos? If you haven't got Tfilin and you haven't got the Sod Membet, how are you going to be Mekayim this on Shabbos? He says very simply, on Shabbos we have four Shmoneh Esras gives us seven brachas in each Shmoneh Esra. That's 28. Why do we have seven brachas on Shabbos? Well, the simple explanation is a Krishna, but Teva, you don't have to have a 19 brachas to the beginning, to the end, one, the middle. He says, no, there's a deeper reason. The reason is because in Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos, you've got seven Shemas. Now, how many times are you chayav to say Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos on Shabbos? Well, the truth of the matter is we say it three times at least, and some people actually say it at Shabbos Mincha as well. But Mikra Adin, you have to say it on Friday night when you Mikabel Shabbos. And you say it also in the Shir Shel Yom on Shabbos. Although we say it in Pesukei de Zimra, not everybody does that. There are different shittas in the middle of the Pesukei de Zimra, what things you add in and what you don't add in. That's optional. That's what we actually do it. But in fact, originally there were only two chiyuvim, one on Friday night and one on Shabbos morning, the Shir Shel Yom. And there are seven shemas. So now you've already got four times seven in Shmoneh Esra. And the twice that you say is Moshir, you should say with Kavona, that gives you six times seven, that's the 42 Shemas. So in place of the Tefillin, which you don't have during the week, the Meshech Chochma says, you have to have Kavona for the 42 Azkoros, which are in the seven Brachas of Shmoneh Esra, and the two of Mizmashir, Leyoim HaShabbos. So, we're seeing again and again that the number 42 has this enormous power. It's the Shem of Hashem, it's the word of creation, it's the word which people used to use in Mashor and Kiddushin, says that it fell into the hands of people who you did know it, who were not royal Lekach, and he said that we should try and stop these people as much as possible. It's a very dangerous weapon. It's like the nuclear bomb in the hands of Iran. You know, if the wrong person gets it, it's a disaster. And the Marshal says that there were people who knew it. Rashi says nobody knew it. But the Marshal says, according to those shitters, that there were people who did know it, there were people in his door who did know it, and they had to try and stop them. It was such a dangerous thing. Why should it be like that? So this Mephoshim don't explain, but it seems to me that very often, just as letters are made up of other letters, so for example, I just heard yesterday that why is the tzaddik such a wonderful thing? Do you know why a tzaddik is a tzaddik? Because a tzaddik trok to yid af zayin bat, where the other gal. Because the tzaddik is really a nun with a yud on top. And that's why a tzaddik is a tzaddik, because a person who's noiser ba'ol, he carries another yid on his back. So I asked the cash immediately, but an aleph has also got a yud on its back. A yalef's got it. Ah, but it's different. A yalef has also got a yud underneath it. A aleph's got two yud. One it carries on top and one it carries underneath. A yid who stands on another yid, that's nishkan tzaddik. A tzaddik is only a tzaddik who has a yud on top of it. I mention this just to show that every letter has its significance. It's well known that the tallest letter in the alphabet is the lamed. There's no letter taller than lamed because limud, it's the highest possible letter. Every letter has its significance. And it's the same thing in numbers. There's a reason why a number has its thing. Why is 9 MS? It's impossible. Because it's 3 times 3. 3 is chizuk. If you're machazik chizuk, you get the MS. So that's why 9 becomes the MS. And so on. 6 is 2 times 3. Because 2 is duality, which is this world. Shalosh is chizuk. Mechazik, this word, so you reach the limit of Teva. That's why 6 becomes that. So if you take the combination of figures I just like to take the combination for the letters. You get the explanation of why that comes out as it should be. It's the same with 8. 8 is 2 times 4. It's the same idea. 4 is Shlemus. Once you double it, you get Lamala Minateva. So it's the same thing here. It's got to do something with the 6 and the 7. Quite clearly, 7 is Kedusha. Shebateva, Shabbos, everybody knows that 7 is Kedusha. 6 is the limited nature. You put the two together, the 6 and the 7 together, you either get 13, which is the holy Jewish number for Bar Mitzvah, and all the Segulas, which are the number 13, which we haven't discussed, or you get 42, because you put them together, you multiply it, you then get the tremendous power of the natural power together with the holy power together. That is how you get this world, which is a world of in physicality combined with spirituality. Now, there are other explanations for the 42, but I feel that we've run out of time, and that's, as far as I'm concerned, the best explanation. So, the Shem Mem Beis is something which, according to Rashi, nobody knows what it is. According to the Gernim, it could be from Onna Bachur, so be careful with it. Don't try and use it, because none of us have reached the Madrega that the Gemara says in tradition. We can actually use it to go around killing people or doing things. We don't do that nowadays. But, however, we should know that it's got tremendous kayach, and that Elisha said that he, if a person hasn't got emunah b'Hashem, he deserves to be punished by it. The corollary is obviously, if you have proper b'tochen b'Hashem, the Hashem Mem Beis will come and give us every support that we should need.